genius.
The fully realized vision of an authentic American genius.
We need your brains.
Don't you have a brain in your head?
Oh, then I will have to adjust your brain a bit.
Every day, Billy the Brain talks with the best guests in America.
Cool.
About business.
The boss that works for you.
Entertainment. Sports.
We're turning now to sports.
And the local community.
Radio keeps its eye on local events.
It's time for brainstorming.
My brain is like mush.
With Billy the Brain.
Sounds like fun. Let's go.
Now, here's your host, Billy the Brain.
Hi, this is Bill Frank, and you're listening to Brainstorming with Billy the Brain. We're on every day, Monday through Friday at 10 o'clock here on KKZZ AM 1400, Positive Talk Radio for Ventura County. You can also hear us streaming over the internet at brainstormingonline.com. My goal is to bring you interviews with thought leaders in business, entertainment, sports, and the local community. Together, we'll listen to what these people say and relate it to how we live and work right here in Ventura County. If all of this sounds like National Public Radio, well, you're getting the idea. Brainstorming with Billy the Brain is NPR done right. If you want to join in the conversation, you can always call us at 639-0008, or if you're outside of the county, it's area code 805-639-0008. Every show has a theme, and today's theme is style. All of my guests will be discussing how something is done with both style and grace. My first guest will teach us the style and etiquette of texting. She'll also warn us of the dangers of the internet for both ourselves and our children. My second guest will teach us how to train our brains to relieve mind clutter, mental fatigue, and other symptoms so we can approach work with style. My third guest reveals presidential style by giving us an intimate portrait of our presidents in a beautiful National Geographic book titled The President's Photographer. And as always, if you want to join the conversation, you can call us at 639-0008. Sean Marie Edgington is the author of Read Between the Lines, A Humorous Guide to Texting with Simplicity and Style, and two other books. She's the CEO of a national insurance brokerage. She's a public speaker, a textpert, and the developer of the Ignore Block Report program. Sean is the founder of the CATC Publishing Group, whose mission is to communicate awareness through collaboration about textual harassment and cyberbullying. Her book, Read Between the Lines, was handpicked to be included in the 2010 Academy Awards swag bag. Welcome to the show, Sean. How are you today?
Great. Thanks for having me.
Oh, it's our pleasure. Thank you so much for being our guest today. And wow, what a thrill that must have been to have your book included in the swag bag at the Academy Awards. Did you go down there and rub elbows with the rich and famous?
Actually, I did. It was quite a thrill. It was something like I've never experienced before and probably never will again. But it was really, really great. I had my mom there and a couple of my best friends, and we really had a blast.
Oh, it's great. Well, I love your book. I love your book simply because I am out of touch when it comes to texting and everything else. I don't know the acronyms. I don't know all the little short things. So your book was great for that. But your book also has chapters that are both evocative and provocative, which I thought was interesting too. You start out with flirty text. What is flirty texting?
Well, it's kind of funny. I just wrote a story on 30 ways in 30 days to have great text. So that's really just a way to send text messages to your significant other during the day or what have you to increase the level of your relationship and some fun and excitement.
So to spice things up a little bit.
Yeah,
well,
right.
Besides the little smiley face that you make, little emoticons, what sort of flirty text would you send your significant other just to let them know that you're out there thinking about them?
Can't wait till dinner tonight. Looking forward to seeing you. There's a lot of other stuff I could probably say, but probably wouldn't be appropriate for...
We're a family show here, Sean. We want to keep it clean, so that's good. All right.
Yeah. So, but what would you like me to bring for dessert? There's just all kinds of really fun things you can do. What are you wearing? Let's have drinks tonight. Where do you want to go? Just cute stuff like that.
Little stuff.
Pictures.
Yeah, just little stuff back and forth. I get it. Well, that's interesting. Another title of one of your chapters, which I found actually more evocative, was Texting in a Man's World. What was that all about?
Well, it was really to explain the difference between men and women. And, women, we tend to talk. And men, they're very quick at answering as far as quick answers, a couple of words. they don't like texting as much as girls do, gals do.
Mm-hmm.
And the one big reason is because it's hard for you guys to use your thumbs on the keyboard, it turns out. So you'd prefer to send maybe one or two messages and then call. That's what you guys would prefer, from what I've researched.
Well, I'd absolutely have to agree with you. I mean, I am, of course, of a generation that did not grow up with texting. I do have fat fingers, and I've got old technology where you have to hit the keypad three times to get the third letter, A, B, C, you know, that kind of thing.
Oh, no, Billy, we need to get you a new phone.
Oh, I know. I desperately need a new phone, but that's a story for another day. The reality is, though, the point of my story where I was going with this is, yes, I have a business associates who love to text, and I always respond back to them, great, call me. And nobody ever calls anymore, you know, and guys would just prefer to bang out a quick two or three word text and we'll move on. But
yeah.
The interesting and from your perspective, both interesting and disturbing trend is children who are just absolutely grew up with this technology. They're addicted to it. They own mobile phones. Children no longer listen to voicemail. If I leave a voicemail for my children, hey, forget it. They're not going to listen to it. They don't read emails from me, but they do text. So why do children text? What's the fascination there? And is that a way that we as parents are going to have to start to relate to our children, is to send them a text message just to get their attention?
Well, first of all, the average teen sends over 3,000 text messages a month. That's over 100 a day. And yes, the answer is yes. We, in order to communicate, most parents of teens know this, we need to be sending text messages to them because they don't answer their phone. It's on vibrate. And if you leave a voicemail, they're not going to pick it up.
That's been my experience as well. So is there a way that we can use texting to teach our children about texting?
Yes, we can. We definitely need to, the way we parent needs to be leading by example. So when we're texting, it needs to be, you know, quick, concise. And if we need to have a conversation, we need to say, hey, give me a call by text, and then they'll call you, because clearly a lot of things need to be, you know, said in words versus over text message.
Mm-hmm. And that's one of the things in the communication gap, Sean, that is really missing. A lot of information in a short text message, you don't get the right intonation, you don't get the right meaning behind it. A lot of short messages can be misunderstood and misinterpreted. How do you get around that?
Yeah, they really can. And that's just really important. If you're sending something that, if you're really mad, really you shouldn't be sending a text if you're mad.
Mm.
If it sounds like it could come off the wrong way, add a smiley face at the end or an LOL. And never do anything in caps, because that's like you're screaming, just like the same thing as sending an email.
Mm-hmm.
A text message is meant to be like a kind of like a, I call it like a post-it note on steroids. It's just a quick note. And it's not to be a long, you know, you're not supposed to be breaking up on text message. You're really supposed to be sending quick notes because it's just easier and more effective to send a text than it is to make a call.
All right. I can get that. Now, one of the things that as a parent who might be listening to the sound of our voice, you know, the time was where you could teach your children basically some simple rules to survive in the world, like look both ways before you cross the street, or, you know, stranger danger. That was a couple of years ago. When somebody was bothering you, you would scream out stranger danger. But the kids that's just table stakes now. I mean, those are all givens. But now, really, the problem is the parents who are unfamiliar with texting themselves have got to guide their children on not only the etiquette of texting and how to do it with style, but what are some of the dangers that are involved there as well. So you've come up with some rules to live by. You call them the Facebook rules to live by, and there are 10 of them. I don't know if we'll have time to go on all 10 of them, but some of them are great, and they're not only good for children, they're good for adults. So I'm going to hone in on one of them right off the bat. Require the password so that you can monitor what's going on inside their online world, which I think is great. And also tell them never to give away their password and to change their password fairly frequently. I bet there are parents out there who don't know that they need to be doing that themselves. Isn't that right, Sean?
Well, there is. And before we get too far down the road on that, I should probably tell you a little bit about my background and how this whole piece of my new book came to be. Because what I'm about is showing parents really how to empower their kids to defend against those texting requests and harassment by text and cyberbullies that are out there online every day. And, you know, parents really need to be in tune with this, because it's happening every day, every minute. And it really all started for me a few years ago when my 16-year-old daughter came home in tears because she was a target of a mean and really hurtful rumor, accusing her of writing a list of all the kids that came to school drunk one day and turning them over to the principal. And so for months, day after day, she was harassed by text and actually on Facebook by three girls who actually coincidentally were suspended for the drinking for the millionth time. it went from text message quickly up to Facebook. And just a little bit about me, I'm a CEO of a national insurance firm, and so what I do for a living is I manage risk and prevent loss for businesses around the country, right?
Mm-hmm.
But at the time this happened to my daughter, I had no clue what to do or how to help her. And unfortunately, this went on for months, and you know, she suffered through this as I did, as the whole family did, actually. And that's why I've put together these tools and solutions for parents, because we don't know what to do. We get trapped in this situation, and we don't know where to turn. There's nowhere to go, and that's what it just caused me to come up with solutions for parents, and that's my goal, is to get the solutions out to parents. And you're right, one of them we have to be monitoring. Had I been monitoring her Facebook account like I recommend now and teaching her how to block and all the things that I talk about, this would have not gone on for 3 months.
All right. Now, it's a funny time because you use your 16-year-old daughter as an example, and I think it's a great example because as a 16-year-old, you know, she's starting to change from being a child to an adult. Obviously, blocking and even going in and checking up on her Facebook and other things gets into a little bit of invasion of privacy at a time where the children are starting to pull away and want more privacy and want to start to lead their own lives. So how do you balance that need for privacy with the need to be a parent?
Right. It is a very difficult balance, and that's one of my things I advocate is really starting earlier. You know, Facebook requires kids to be 13 years old to have their first Facebook account. And so, you know, before you hand them their first cell phone, and before you let them get their first Facebook account or MySpace, whatever it's going to be, really you've got to go through the rules of engagement as a parent and go through all your expectations just like you would, drinking and drugs. I mean, you've just got to go through and parent around technology now. And if you start earlier versus at 16, it's a lot easier to do that. So, I mean, I have clients that have gotten their kids' cell phones at 8 years old. And so guess what? If you're going to get your kid a cell phone at 8, it's time to start talking about the rules of engagement. What can you do and what can't you do on that cell phone? For instance, you can't be sending text messages out, photos.
Right.
You can't be sending sex out because that happens at a very young age now. I just had someone had that happen to an 8-year-old.
Oh, that's incredibly young.
Yeah. Yeah.
I mean, what does an 8-year-old know of sex?
See? And the whole point is parents, that doesn't even come across our mind to have that conversation with our 8-year-old daughter that they shouldn't be sexting because, wow, we hope that they don't even know what that word is, right?
Right.
But at the end of the day, we better be having those conversations, and at a very young age, when they first get that cell phone, when they first get that Facebook account, I made the mistake. I didn't do it. I wasn't really aware of what goes on, and I learned from that, and that's why I'm promoting. And you know what? When you're monitoring, you can't be going on and making comments and having conversations with their friends. It's a very silent monitor. If they make an incorrect post or an inappropriate comment or a sexy photo gets put up there,
mm-hmm.
you have them take it down. You don't go up there and do it
yourself.
Them.
All right. We're talking to Sean Marie Edgington, everybody, author of the book Read Between the Lines, A Humorous Guide to Texting with Simplicity and Style. And I want to go down this path a little bit further with you, Sean, too, because after a while, as these children get more independent, aren't they going to start to migrate away from Facebook and go to other things like Foursquare has become very popular now because it combines little blurbs with where you're located as well, which from your book I know is also very dangerous. So as these children get older, they start to migrate to new platforms. The parents may not even be aware that they've migrated someplace else, aren't they?
Right. And that's one of the reasons why I developed my one-click safety kit. And it really goes through all the talking points that parents need to know exist through the rules of engagement, for instance, like Foursquare, FormSpringMe, and Facebook Places. Because, see, Facebook Places now has that technology
mm-hmm.
for kids to check in, and which will divulge their exact address real time and put their photo next to it. Really, we don't want our 13-year-old daughter checking in let's say at the movie theater, letting everyone know where she's standing at that exact moment. It's just too crazy dangerous.
Yeah, I agree with you, and I agree. Go through your system. You've got a block and thrust, the IBR rules for harassment. What is the IBR rule for harassment?
Yeah, so it's the my three-step IBR program, and it's basically if we just teach our kids, again, this was developed for the benefit of everyone else, except for I didn't have it with my daughter. So really, what you can do is, of course, you want to teach your kids to let things roll off their back, which is ignoring. And let's face it, it's really hard for young kids to do that.
Sure.
So I go straight to the second step, and that's blocking. With a cell phone, you have the ability to add what's called parental controls onto every wireless number. Now, this is usually about $4.95 a month. And it's called parental controls, and it allows you to block someone who is sending harassing text messages or phone calls. So you block that phone number. And had I had my daughter block those three girls' phone number, it would have instantly stopped, because that's the one thing about bullying. If there's no response on the other end, if the messages aren't getting delivered, it's going to slow down and maybe even go away right away. So it's huge for parents to know that kids, we got to empower our kids to block. And you can also block on Facebook, too. It's really easy to block on Facebook.
Ignore, block, and remove. I like that. But if the bullies did like these girls did in your case,
yes,
they moved this to the Facebook platform, so they,
yes,
stopped. Even if you had been able to block and remove these girls from calling your daughter, they would have just taken the battle to Facebook, which is sort of an open public forum.
Which they did, yeah.
Okay.
They did that.
And so then you have to...
Yeah, they did, and you can block them right on Facebook, too.
Okay.
And
all right.
So that's, there's a little block button right there underneath the post. You can just block that whole entire profile, delete them off, block and delete them. It's interesting if they don't have anyone listening to them say how terrible or awful you are, hopefully they can go and move on.
Yeah, we would hope that that'd be the case. It's amazing. It's a whole new world out there, Sean, that we've got to live in, and parents have got to adapt to the world that's out there. One way they can do that is to get your book, Read Between the Lines, A Humorous Guide to Texting with Simplicity and Style. We've been talking to Sean Marie Edgington, everybody. Sean, thank you so much for being our guest. Very informative section. We'll talk to you down the road.
Thanks for having me deal with the brain.
All right, great.